The Holy Gospel according to Luke chapter 13. At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them? Do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you all from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior. Amen. Let us pray. Good and gracious Lord, may the words from my lips and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you as we go about our day this week and always. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. The military has a merit system where they rack and stack people's evaluation reports in order to rank members from best to least. This ranking is used for promotion purposes. In our culture, we tend to promote ourselves by racking and stacking ourselves against others. Whether it be the material things we have, our degrees, our experience, our looks, our good works, our talents, etc. This sometimes extends to racking and stacking ourselves with others whose sin seems greater than ours. "Oh, at least I'm not like that person," makes us feel better about ourselves, and it puts people into an other category. Yet baptism, thanks be to God, puts us in one category, as beloved, forgiven children of God who are joined together as the body of Christ, equally forgiven and loved and equally called to new life in Christ, where we die and rise daily by the inbreaking of God's grace in our lives through Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the cross. In baptism, we are both sinner and saint and are called to daily repentance. And thanks be to God, we are always being made new through God's grace. The racking and stacking we are used to in our daily lives is washed away by the baptismal waters and the promise of the word. On account of Jesus crucified and risen, we are judged in baptism, and our sin is washed away, and God sees it no more. And God gives us a new chance to begin again, to try to love ourselves and our neighbors as ourselves, as Jesus loves us, when we stand at the foot of the cross, confessing our sin and trusting in God's grace. Today's text is rich with misunderstanding of God's judgment on sin, which Jesus clarifies and then follows with a challenge to his followers on repentance. On the one hand, Jesus refutes that people are punished by God because their sin is any greater than other people's sin. Rather, he says the brokenness of the world applies to everyone, and no one is spared from brokenness, and death can randomly occur with anyone. But before you are quick to thank God for not racking and stacking us against other sinners on account of the grace we received in baptism, Jesus warns, "Unless you repent, you too will perish as the Galileans killed by the Roman governor Pilate was, and the 18 that perished by the tower." It is quite jarring to hear that from Jesus. And so it's easy to fall back into the trap that we need to earn our salvation. And yet nothing could be farther from the truth. The Greek word metanoia, translated as repent in Luke 13, means a transformative change of heart, especially a spiritual conversion. In a letter from 1518, Luther talks about discovering this definition. The Latin word he had always read in these passages had only meant remorse in acts of penance imposed by the church. In the letter, he thanks his colleague for opening his eyes to the true meaning of the scriptures. He now understands metanoia, or repent, as the transformation of one's mind and disposition, and coming to one's right mind in a comprehension of one's own evil after one has accepted the damage and recognized the error. He highlights that the Latin word misrepresents the true meaning of the Greek because it suggests more an action than a change in disposition. And Luther goes on to explain that this change is accomplished by the grace of God. Our feelings of contrition, the reorientation of our minds, and changing of our behavior are not things necessary for God to love us. Thanks be to God. But instead are a result of God already loving us. Because Christ already died for us and the Holy Spirit lives in us, we are able to repent and bear fruits worthy of repentance. Repenting is a daily discipline, an acknowledgement that God is constantly turning us back around to focus on godly things. It is not just a personal thing, though. Groups, communities, and institutions can also participate in repentance, admitting they have done wrong or fallen short, and then taken steps to prevent history from repeating itself, all by the grace of God. Since sin does have consequences in life, how we treat others unjustly, how we are tied to systems of systemic oppression known and unknown, how we marginalize people who are not like us, how we allow injustice to go unchecked, how we act out of selfish motivation and exploit people, how we fail to trust God and God's grace and fail to turn to God daily to see the inbreaking of God's kingdom of justice and peace in the world, and how we fail to live out our baptismal vows to work for God's justice and peace in the world. There is death and destruction, not on account of God, but on account of free will and the choices we make. In the movie City Slickers, an early 90s movie, Phil goes into the tent after confronting the drunk cowhands. While in the tent, he breaks down, saying that he is almost 40 years old and his life is a waste. The Billy Crystal character reminds him about when they were children and they were playing ball that if it got stuck in a tree, they would call do-over. Billy Crystal tells Phil that his life is a clean slate, a do-over. The scene ends with Phil questioning the ability to have a do-over. Yet in Scripture, beginning in Genesis 9, 8 through 17, about the new covenant and the rainbow. Mark chapter 1, 9 through 15, which talks about repentance. And 1 Peter 3, 18 to 22, all talk about a do-over with God. Lent is a time we seek to live more fully in the great do-over of God as we head to its celebration at Easter. While the bad news is we do not know when death will knock on our door, and like the fig tree in today's parable, Jesus tells us, we fail to bear fruit of repentance. While the world would rack and stack us and have us ready to be cut down, as the vineyard owner wants to do in today's text, the good news is the gardener, God, has mercy on us, gives us a do-over, giving us another year where God promises to tend to us and put stinky manure on us to help us bear fruit worthy of repentance or the ability to perceive God's reign of justice and peace breaking into the world. We had a few representatives at the workshop yesterday, the LGBTQIA community and how the church can welcome them more into the community. And I know this is a hard subject for many, and I know we're all on a different part of the journey, and that's okay. But I think it's really important that we realize that the LGBTQIA body of Christ is part of the same body of Christ that we belong to. They are all beloved children of God like we are, and they need to be welcomed, and they need to be loved, because God made them, and God loves them. And I lift this up to you because the suicide rate of the young teens that happen to fall into that category by no choice of their own is extremely high. The runaway rate is extremely high. So may God's Spirit move in us and through us to see people who are different than us the way God sees them and loves them. And may we repent and find ways that we can support them. In the movie Billy Elliot, young Billy is a lad who joins in on the ballet class, which meets in the hall after his boxing club, and is found to be a talented dancer. However, his father and brother refuse to allow the dance lessons to continue, considering it too prissy for one of their family. A climax moment in the story is when Billy's father, having prohibited his dancing further, marches down to the hall to catch him in the act and to beat some sense into him. The boy, however, defiantly dances his utmost before his father, converting him to seeing what he is capable of. The movie is set during Margaret Thatcher's war on the coal workers. So moved is Billy's father that he crosses the line to join the scab laborers so that his boy might go to the ballet academy. The scene is a useful parable of repentance as thinking or seeing again or turning around, and of the immediate relationship between being converted and acting on the new self, a new understanding through God's love and grace in Jesus Christ. When we turn to God to perceive how God sees the world, we often become smelly and people turn their nose up at us. It is this smell of God's manure that helps us bear fruit for the kingdom of God. People might be uncomfortable around the smell, and we might even struggle with it. But it gives us the nutrients we need for bearing fruit and living an abundant life in Christ. In our families in St. Matthew, sometimes there are topics we don't want to talk about because others turn their nose away for fear of the smell. They get a sniff of it and become defensive. And yet in this season of transition, we are called to see what God is up to here at St. Matthew. Are there people we turn from because what they have to say causes our nose to curl? Perhaps that smell is the aroma of God's pardon and daily work in and through them as they seek to see all people as being made in the image of God and welcomed at God's table. This Lent, rather than turn the other way when you begin to smell the manure God has planted around the fig tree, maybe you can help water it by remembering your baptism and that all those baptized into Christ are racked and stacked equally in God's eyes and have a place in God's kingdom. Perhaps you can pray and ask God what God is up to here at St. Matthew when you encounter people who might show you a new vision of the inbreaking of God's kingdom in this world. Are there groups we fail to welcome at St. Matthew? Are there divisions in our own family over what the world tells us to perceive and what God tells us to perceive? Are there people hurting due to our indifference or busy lives that we don't stop to see what God is up to? May we, when we hear the good news in Jesus Christ in our baptism, and as we come to the table at Holy Communion today, may we remember Jesus, who suffered an unjust and humiliating death to bring peace to you and to the world. By our daily repentance and asking God what God is up to as you encounter people that are different from you. Perhaps with God's help this Lent, maybe we too can perceive the inbreaking of God's kingdom, and with God's tender loving care and grace and smelly manure, bear fruits worthy of repentance for the sake of our neighbor. Amen.